Life happens fast. Be financially ready. Call Mesiro, 877-MESIROW. It's a Mesiro Monday. Greg Lunsford here. Dr. Lunsford, correct?
Correct.
Your PhD was in what, my friend?
So my PhD is in management, but my field of study is retirement transition.
Well, then you're the perfect person to talk about this.
I love my favorite place to talk to people is those who are about 50 or older that are thinking about the transition or in the transition. Those are my favorite clients.
What did you do to study retirement?
You know what? When I first started studying, there wasn't a lot of literature out there on the retirement process. There was a lot of literature mainly looking through the lens of gerontology of what happens in retirement, because we've always thought retirement as part of the aging process. So it was really studies that looked at old age. And what we're coming to understand is that retirement is no longer a transition to old age. So it used to be you go from middle age to old age. And now, because we're living longer, there's a third period that is supposedly the best part of your life. And I can see how it can be. And it's called in academic literature the third age.
The
third age. So you actually go from your young age to middle age, and used to be then to old age. But now between middle age and old age is the third age. And it's this undefined period where you have satisfied your obligations to other people. You have more financial resources than you ever had. You have more wisdom than you ever had. And you can set your life course. And so the trick to retirement is going, what do I do with this life bonus? And for many, it could be the best part of life if you set it up right.
And part of that is setting up your social structure.
Setting up your social structure. So,
and what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is what we're finding is if you roll the clock back maybe a couple decades, the primary driver for the retirement decision is, can I financially afford to do this? And like I said in our last podcast, usually when you can financially afford to do it, most people bowed out because they realized life expectancy was shorter. So the faster I get out of the game, the more of life I have to enjoy. Now, it's not that hard to live to 80, 90, 100. And so people are going, what's the big rush? And I got this space in this third age. And so we're looking at more factors. So two more factors come into play. They're more than the three, but the three biggest ones now are financial readiness.
Covered that one.
Social relationships.
That's this one.
And then also psychological success.
Wow.
Okay.
So what is it like? What does it mean? Like, do you develop your friend networks in your second, in your middle age to keep going in your third age? Like, is it setting yourself up so that when your middle age ends and you retire, that you aren't just left off a cliff? Like, what is it?
Yeah, so look at how many people die and deteriorate in terms of who they are because of loneliness. It is real. It is a large contributor to the mental illness. So before you go into the retirement space, you should really think about, hey, we spend more time with our work colleagues than anyone else, right? And we spend more time at work than anywhere else. And even if you don't love all of your colleagues, some of them become great friends and others give you something to talk about, to laugh about. And that joy and that laughter during your day makes you feel as though you're alive, you're vibrant, and you're having fun. There's a lot that goes into that. And a lot of people don't realize how much that contributes to your success. So work provides more than just financial benefit. It gives you the ability to interact. It gives you the ability to accomplish things. And social relationships are so important. And one of the things that we tend to not see is that work started as was started as a combination of families getting together and those kinships. So think about it. Go back to, 1700s or so. Family owns a farm. All the cousins work the farm. All the uncles and aunts work the farm.
It's a family and friend enterprise.
It's the family and friend enterprise. And so the first retirement system actually was whoever the dad was, because women couldn't have land rights, unfortunately, back then, basically went to his sons or nephews or whoever and said, look, unofficially, I'm going to stop working the land.
Yeah.
And if you care for me, I'll deed you the land one day. Those were the first retirement systems.
Right.
They got a little bit more fancy, and so they're pensions now, but that was the first retirement. And so what happened in that case is the younger folks said yes, and so there was less physical labor done by the elder, but there was a lot of wisdom that was passed on.
Institutional knowledge.
Institutional knowledge. So they became more like the managers.
Right.
And then you had the laborers.
And they had a social connection to still what
they
were doing.
They had a social connection. So all of your family members were in close proximity to you, and you needed each other for survival. Then we get into this industrial age, right? And so I don't need my relatives around me to earn a living. Mm-hmm. I can go on this plant and make an individual
thing, yeah,
contribution. And then we started getting into ageism. And so that wisdom that the older person provided was no longer valued because management science came along.
Mm.
And so now that you have these managers were telling you, well, all you got to do is stand here with a stopwatch and you count who can sling the hammer fast enough over a minute, and whoever can do it the fastest, that's the person who has the value. And so what about all this institutional knowledge? It wasn't valued as much.
Mm-hmm.
And so older wisdom in the workforce was devalued. And so people were made to feel as though they were not adding value if they were beyond certain age. And that's when we started getting into labor laws to protect people over age 40 and things like that, because they were starting to be discriminated in the workforce. Well, what we noticed is, and at that point in time, we looked at the development of pension plans as this great thing that your company did for you, but it was really this compromise between management and labor. So,
I feel like I'm in my college classroom again, by the way.
Don't let me get too deep on you.
No, no. Well, we've gotten there, Greg. I think what you're driving at here is that we went from an era in which your family and your friends were part of what your work was. When you left there, you were still valued, and you still had the connection to the people you worked with because they were your friends and family.
That's exactly right.
It's the opposite now.
So now now it got to this point in the industrial age when management science came along. It's like, send grandpa in the corner, and we don't want to hear from him.
Right, and now he doesn't have the connection to the people he worked with.
Right, and then there was all this, you know, well, that's what happened. So you start to see this decline in behavior, and you say, that's what happens when you're getting old. Well, maybe it wasn't what comes because he was getting older. It was because he was being alienated.
So maybe some of the health things that we attribute an older
exactly
person
right
to is actually a byproduct of how we treat the worker post-working.
That's exactly right. So let me sum this up a little bit.
I love this. No, this is fascinating. That's what the podcasts are for. We got all the time in the world, Greg.
So let me sum this up a little bit. One, what do you do to replace those friendships, because now those kinships, because now I don't have to live in close proximity to my family,
mm-hmm,
to earn a living. And so now you got cousins and aunts and uncles all over the place, and I'm the only person in California, and I want to stay in California. Well, you got to figure out how to have friendships that replace kinships. So one great model I saw that I tell people to look at is the television show The Golden Girls. There was a lot of value in that show beyond just the comic relief it gave us,
mm-hmm,
right? But here you had a mother and a daughter, and they had two friends, and that was a perfect example how in that house there was some kinship, but not enough kinship for everyone, the mother and the daughter, to feel fully stimulated. So the two friends come in, and there is friendship and kinship at every level. So there is somebody at your peer level for you to talk about certain things and go see movies with. There is a parent there that you can talk about things at that level. And so one of the things that I talk about in my book is laddering, just like we ladder bonds.
Yeah.
So you have
laddering
older
T-bills,
bonds,
yeah,
and you have younger, younger bonds, and there's always a bond coming due to produce income. You also need to ladder your social relationships. So whether you have kinfolk in close proximity, that's great. But if you don't, you need to develop those friendships, those people who are as reliable as your kinfolk. And I say spread them out. So there should always be some friends you have that are one generation ahead of you and one generation behind you. Because what happens if you get in retirement and all of your friends
passing away,
pass away, right?
Yeah.
And so then you start to get lonely. And once again, loneliness is a contributor to mental decline, right? And so to the extent that you can always have this network around you, and I've seen some great situations occur. Give you an example. When my son played Pee Wee football, there was an older couple that were always with some of his teammates. I thought they were grandparents. And so what I came to find out was they were just an elderly couple that lived on the corner, but they brought them to practice. They came to their games as if they were grandparents. This is a great example of laddering friendships, right?
I love that.
And so the parents really appreciate it because they were working, they were in their careers. They couldn't get them all the time. The older couple thought it was great because they need that stimulation and to be around young people and, you know, contribute to things that were in the community. It was great. And it was a win-win all around.
Yeah. But they get to have that connection still.
They get to have that connection.
Purpose, the drive. I love that. I love that.
And there are a lot of folks that don't have children.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Or don't have their grandchildren, right?
Right.
Families are getting smaller. I guess what I'm saying is, Greg, someone that's retired now might be saying, it's hard to do, though, when you get to our age, to start building those networks. And by all means, try and do it any way you can.
Right.
You can always call me at WGN. I'll talk to you. But if you're, this is something you can start doing in your 40s and 50s and 60s.
Right, and you should be intentional about it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. This doesn't happen naturally. Find these communities.
That's exactly right. Just like you had to invest in relationships at your peer level, invest in relationships one generation and two generations.
Find an organization in your town with a mission that you care about that's a nonprofit that has younger people, recruit younger people. That's exactly how to do
it. That's exactly right. When you go to your place of worship, don't just talk to the people who are your age. You know,
talk to the younger people.
Talk to the younger people. Talk to the older people.
Because you might be the last one left.
You never know.
Well, I mean, of your age group. We do got to move on to the last podcast. This one is fascinating, Greg.
Okay.
That's great. Laddering friendship. T-bills, bonds, and friendship. Things to ladder. You can talk to Greg more about all this stuff at Mesiro, 877-MESIRO, MESIROW.com. Greg, we'll do it again next week.
Sounds great.
Want to live well? Then you need to plan well. A Mesiro advisor can help you create a financial plan that fits your life. Call Mesiro at 877-MESIROW.